Do you remember this?
Math class is tough. Do you like toasted marshmallows? Let's plan a birthday dance. Math class is tough.
Back in 1992, toy company Mattel nearly had to recall its Teen Talk Barbie. Women's groups protested the doll's use of the phrase, "math class is tough." They called the company out for perpetuating a harmful stereotype that boys and men are better at math than girls and women. Research, especially over the past 10 years, has shown that there is no innate difference in math ability between males and females. And yet, the stereotype persists. Women earn more than 40% of all college math degrees, and yet their presence is scarce in the higher echelons of mathematics. The statistics for women of color are even lower. Stanford education researcher Joe Bowler says the seeds of this disparity are sown well before college. She says as soon as kids first go to school, they start to hear you're either a math person or you're not.
This idea that you haven't got the brain for math is really outdated. Anybody can grow that brain that's needed to excel in math.
Today we'll continue our series on women in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, by hearing from Joe Bowler about her research and where it comes from. KALW's Jen Chien spoke with her at her office on the Stanford campus.
You know, I had a strongly feminist mother. She always said, you know, do maths, make sure you do maths because you're a girl. I was sort of equally torn between going to maths and English and literature, and she really pushed me to do maths because I was a girl. I was good. I mean, I could always do the math problems, so I saw myself as good at math, but I was really aware as a child how bad the math teaching was. And I used to help my friends, and even at a young age, I used to think, why can't the teacher explain it like this? Or why is the teacher so off-putting? Sometimes math teachers are off-putting.
Your research points to the fact that the kind of traditional way of teaching is not working, mm-hmm. and you advocate a more problem-solving and critical thinking-based mm-hmm. approach rather mm-hmm. than rote memorization. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little more about what is the difference between those approaches?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, people started out teaching just by telling kids methods and having them reproduce them, and people thought that was the way you learned. I could tell you something, it would just go into your head. And then we have a lot of research on learning. We know it doesn't work like that. People actually have to make sense of things themselves and engage in math in different ways. So it's important to have students be more actively engaged in math. If you can involve a kid in trying to think through a problem that they can't solve, like an example, I was in a classroom the other day and the kids didn't know how to do calculus. So the teacher had given them all lemons and knives and said, "See if you can come up with a theory about how to find the volume of this shape." So the kids thought about it, and they did some different things with the lemons, and they all came up with these ideas, and then she taught them sort of the formal methods of how you do that. And the kids at that point are really interested because they want to solve the problem. We also do terrible things to kids in schools. Like, one of the worst things we do is give time tests. There's now a whole lot of evidence that shows that time tests are the early onset of math anxiety for a lot of kids.
What is a time test?
So they will give kids a test of 50 questions to do in 3 minutes, and it does many awful things to kids. One of which, it's such a powerful moment, the pressure they feel in those time tests, that it sets up anxiety, but also it makes them think that's what math is.
Can you talk a little bit about how the way that math is taught influences existing achievement gaps mm-hmm. or achievement gaps that have been researched, like girls versus boys
right.
or black and Latino students versus white and Asian students, for example?
Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, in the U.S. right now, there's a belief that you're either a math person or you're not. Kids believe that, parents believe it, and most devastatingly, teachers believe it. So when we teach math in a rote way, what you'll find is boys will often sort of go along with it. And the girls get quite anxious about it, and they're thinking, you know, I don't get this method. Why does it work? Girls, in particular, want math environments where they can talk about methods and understand where they come from, why they work. So understanding math in that way is great for everybody. And that's how we want all kids understanding math. But it turns out that girls, more than boys, need that. The other inequities, the racial inequities we have in the system, one of the most shocking and horrible pieces of data I saw in the last year was from a big study of different school districts that was showing that kids were scoring proficient or advanced on algebra tests but not being moved on when they finished algebra and being held back to do it again. Something like 40% of kids who actually achieve at the highest levels were made to repeat it. And when they looked at those kids, nearly all of them were minority kids. So what you're seeing is really racial discrimination in attitudes towards kids and them being held back. But in terms of teaching approaches, the approaches that we know work from research, which are problem solving, engaging with math visually, which is very important, are not good for a particular group of kids. They're good for all kids. They're good for girls, boys, white, black, any colour kid. And it's really important that we have students working in these ways because that is how math is used in the world. So if we could have those approaches in classrooms and we could stop giving kids the message that math isn't for them, especially girls and students of colour, then the whole world would change.